Welcome to Beyond the Frontline Podcast, where your hosts, U.S. Air Force veterans, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson, will help you transition from the front line to the home front. Listen every other Wednesday as they will bring great conversations, resources, tips, and feel-good stories that will resonate and relate. Now, here's your hosts, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson.
All right, welcome back, Jay. We're here again.
We are. It's always the highlight of my week when we get together to start recording some of these sessions.
Oh, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm exceptional. I can't believe you asked me that still, right? As many times as we talk on it. I have everybody say that. I knew that already, Jay. I knew that.
Well, I still ask.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, you're my partner in crime, and I don't always get the answer exceptional. Every once in a while, I'll get,
That's true. Yeah, that's true. She's close enough to me in my inner circle where she may be one of the few that...
I get the meh.
Yeah, that knows when I'm having an off day. But most of the time, everybody receives
I'd say
exceptional
90.
Because it's true.
Yeah, you know? 95% of the time.
It's a choice. I choose to be exceptional. It's an attitude
absolutely.
Adjuster for me.
I always say I am determined to find the silver lining. I can take any crap situation and be like, well, at least it's not.
Yeah.
Or, hey, thank goodness this happened. Or I try.
Yeah.
It really is a conscious decision.
It is a conscious decision, and I think it's the right one, honestly, because we talked about this before. We can step outside our homes, our businesses, out into the world, whatever that means, looks like for anybody. We can find bad. There's plenty of bad.
Yeah.
And there's a heck of a lot of good out there, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, speaking of good things, we're going to talk about transition today.
I love this topic.
But we're going to talk about, because that's a big topic, right? We're doing a whole podcast that's related to transition. But
that's true.
We're going to talk, it's a catch up on our transition. So the angle we're coming from today is I just retired a year and some change ago. So I retired 1 October 2020. So that was a year and December, January, a year and 3 months ago. Roughly, almost 4 months ago.
Time flies when you're
home. Oh, Lordy, does it ever. And so I'm going to talk about my fresh transition that's kind of still going. I don't even know if there ever is like a end point to this. I do wonder. And then Jay's going to come from his transition because he transitioned a long, long time ago.
I think it's another way of saying I'm old, everybody. That's
older.
What I hear.
How long ago did you transition?
2010.
Long time ago.
11 years. I'm still alive and kicking, though.
But he's still transitioning.
I think that's
just called growth, really.
Yeah, when you said that, I thought you don't ever really want to stagnate or become idle. I think you ought to be in a constant state of improvement, whatever
Most
that looks
like.
Most
of my friends would say I don't ever sit idle.
Yeah, I know that's true.
They poke at me all the time about, why is your hands always in 30 things? And they're like, why are we asking you that question?
Yeah. I have people ask me all the time, where do you find the time? And I'm like, well, when you make something a priority, you place it in a place, it becomes important to you, and you find the time. I'm not going to say make the time.
But this is our life.
You find the time.
Well, it's our life, right? Like,
yeah.
We're both entrepreneur. I'm more entrepreneur-y because I'm still learning this. And you're entrepreneur.
Yeah, there's another term out there. Have you heard this? I like this. I heard it maybe 5 years ago, but it resonates with me. Solopreneur. I don't have this team around me. It's kind of me in this entrepreneurial realm, but it tends to be me in everything, except for you and a couple others. I've got some other people I collaborate with. That's right. But otherwise, it's kind of, I'm a solopreneur.
You don't have an assistant yet.
I don't have it.
There.
No. Yeah, no. My daughter, that might be child labor.
Mine
so
too.
I'm not going to admit it. Yeah.
My 10-year-old gives me instructions on lots of things.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to talk about our transition. And I'm going to let Jay start first. We're going to go back in time.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about, I'm just going to jump in here and there in regards to, we'll just go back and forth.
Yeah, because I know one part of this you and I did differently. And so let's go there. So 2010, I'm retiring, and I had made a name for myself. I don't say that boastfully or with any kind of arrogance. People knew me. And in another organization on the air base I was retiring out of, Randolph Air Force Base here in San Antonio, Joint Base San Antonio Randolph, if I'm going to be proper. Another organization on base that I was heavily trained in what they do reached out to me, and I didn't know them, but they said, hey, we've had people tell us about you. We certainly know people in common that we think a lot of, and they think a lot of you, and we'd like to invite you to have a conversation with us. And I went down and met with them, and long story short, I became a government civilian. This is where you and I differ.
Andy. So this was before you retired.
Yeah, I'm still on active duty. They really invited me down to a conversation, and they're making a job offer.
Okay, so you're
basically
getting ready to retire. Just for
I still had to go through the process, everybody, right. Just to be clear.
Oh,
there's still a list. They still interviewed other people, but at the end of the day, they had at least showed me that they were interested in me and that I was going to be a consideration. How about that?
Pre-vetting.
Yeah, and so what I would say, Don, is I don't know what the percentage is, honestly, but it does seem to me like a lot of people retiring from active duty seek government civil service work. Now, maybe it's because there's familiarity. I do think the pay is decent. The benefits were decent.
Mm-hmm. Security.
And security, right? You don't have to go relearn. And I think the benefit to the government is they're getting to retain someone that they've invested a lot of time and money into.
And developing you get skills. Familiarity.
Familiarity, right? For sure. So that was what I did, Don. I certainly want to come back to that and talk more on it and what led me away from that eventually, because that was another big significant transitional piece. But yeah, I chose comfort, Don, is the bottom line. I chose that familiarity piece, which ended up being a bad decision. Look, I was working with great people that were cut from the same cloth, similar values, people who are I'm very close with still today. I'm just telling you, it was the wrong decision for me in that moment for the wrong reason. I chose comfort.
Well, yes, but in the big picture, it actually was the decision that catapulted you to where you're at.
So, well, that's true.
So you probably needed that.
Butterfly effect you're talking about. Mm-hmm. We can't go back and change something without there being a corollary other.
Right.
So the fact that I made that decision put me on the path of where I am.
So I did it different. And I think we've talked a little bit about my transition. I got out and I was fried beyond belief. And I just needed time. And I fortunately was lucky enough that I could take time off. I didn't have to have a job. I had retirement. My husband was actually still working at the time. And so, still working. I just took a breather. And I don't think I was even functional for 6 months. And it wasn't like I was in a depressed state or anything. I just existed. I was just in the house. I was making bread for the kids. I was baking. I was painting rocks. That's like the joke you hear throughout different podcast that I seriously was like painting rocks. I was just being. And honestly, I'm one of those people that it might look like I'm just kind of sitting there, but there's stuff going on in the subconscious.
Yeah, you're a deep thinker.
In the back of the mind. And I knew there was the, you're not going to stay like this forever kind of thing that was going on in my head. But at that time, I couldn't. I just couldn't. I couldn't do another thing. And so 6 months went by, and then I started getting agitated and itchy. In the first 6 months, I was really doing a lot of self-care. I really was. And I started meditating. I was working with a friend of mine who's like a spiritual mentor. And I was really stripping off a lot of the armor that was on me. Mm-hmm. And I was really like just taking off a lot of the stress and the emotional buildup and all the things that we pack away. And what was really funny was I would talk to different people and they're like, what are you doing? And I would tell them, and invariably they would say, I wish I would have done that. Mm-hmm. I wish even if I took a month off, I wish I would have taken some time for me.
It was in some of that process for you that you and I really started to form a stronger friendship
because
you and I were talking.
I actually, so Jay does coaching, right? And we had met at my job and we connected and kind of got each other.
Yeah.
And then I retired and kind of went away and I did. I was just kind of out of existence for a while. And then I thought, I thought early on, I'll work with Jay while I'm resting and I'll do get some business coaching. I was going to hire him. Remember? I just threw away the contract. And I realized quickly it was not happening. I wanted to do it, but I just couldn't do it. And I said to Jay, I'm like, Jay, it is not you. It was like a breakup. It's not you. It's me. But it really was me. And he said, hey, when you're ready, you're going to be ready. No pressure, no nothing. And I'm like, okay. And so I felt good. I even actually had a job, potential job. And I even told those people, I said, you're the right people. It's fascinating. I want to learn all this. it's not the right time. And they were like, you totally understand. So yeah. Everywhere I was, it would take a break. So I did, backed off everything. And then finally at 6 months, I kind of got enough effort to start writing. But I couldn't do much more than that because I tried to go ahead and move forward with a business. And remember, you and I had lunch and I was, this isn't working. And he was just like, so sit back and chill.
Yeah. I didn't get any of that time. Now, who's to blame for that? Me. Well, ultimately. Yeah. The government job that I ended up being offered and accepting, the leaders of that organization said, Jay, we need you right now. We've got some pressing issues that we don't really have the right attention on. And I think I got 10 days. That was my decompression time.
Out
of uniform into a new role. And look, at the end of the day, I was okay. It wasn't until many years later that I realized that decompression time that I didn't get would have really helped. I was burning out. 4 years into it, all those things I said earlier that were true about working with good people and still getting to use my skill sets and leading a really dynamic team, all things I really love, I was really starting to burn out and I was finding myself unhappy. And listen to me, everybody. I think this is really important. I'm not saying, again, maybe I've said this on a previous episode even, I'm not saying it's not true for women, but I'm going to speak as a man. My identity was wrapped up in the work I did.
Yeah.
And so now that I was finding myself unhappy and maybe burning out, I was bringing that ill and ick home into my home environment with my family. And I never would bring that out on them. I would close myself off.
Right, that's what we did.
Sit in silence, put up a wall and just be alone and stuck. So for me, Donna, what happened 4 years in is I went into this deep, reflective, introspective review of when have I been happy?
Right.
What makes me happy? What do I just really enjoy doing? Makes me feel alive, purpose, my purpose is being met. And that led me to doing some work inside my church for anyone, though, in the community. They didn't have to be church members who were in a career transition state, who were maybe unemployed, underemployed, looking for more meaning. And so for several years, I was volunteering in this program called Career Transition.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I really started to fall in love with this notion of coaching. And so then I went and got my coaching certificate. I came back to my government civil service job, was in that job as a GS-13 for maybe 10 more months, and I decided to leave. And maybe I shared this also on a previous episode, but I'll say it again for context. One of the guys that worked for me said to me, "You'll be back, Jay." And I said, "I promise you I won't." He's like, "They all come back, Jay. They leave to go do different things, and they all come back." And I said, "I promise I won't." And I didn't, and I love to say, because I followed the Cortez, it's alleged that when he arrived in the New World, he turned to his men and he said, "Scuttle the ships."
Right.
Like, sink them, burn them.
Sink them, because we're not going back.
Yeah, there's only one way. We're committed to this. We're going forward. We're not going to keep a place of safety to return to. And that was really important for me to do that. And if you're going to be an entrepreneur, everybody, I'm just going to tell you, you almost have to have that mindset. Or almost, you do have
you
to have
to.
That. You've got to go all in. If you're straddling a fence, you're never going to be as successful as you can be. So July 4th of 2015, Don, I call it All New Meaning to Independence, was my last day on the government rolls as a civilian employee. And I began to fully stand up my business and lean in. It's been an incredible ride.
Yeah. It's funny because my husband ended up coming out, and he felt this provider sense. So I was working. And I was like, take a breather. And he's like, nope, we're gonna get through this. And so he got out and went right back as a contractor. And then I think 9 months later, he started working as a GS. And he had a 2-month break, but 1 month, that 2 months was his dad ill.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's really no break there when you're taking care of somebody else. So he was out there helping his mom and doing that kind of stuff. And he never got the break. So now, let's scroll ahead. He said, I'm going to work a year past your retirement. And then if we look good, then I'm going to leave the GS world. And I'm telling you, in 5 days, he's done.
He's going to be a pump.
Yep. He's going to be a pumpkin in the GS world. He's walking out. It's not that he's not going to do things. He's going to teach college, and he already teaches online. So he's going to pick up more classes. But 31st, he retired. And the next day, or 2 days later, he'll be on the hiking trails. He's going to go hike for a week.
I'm going to join him on one of these. I'm committed to get out there. He does a little more extreme things than things I've done in my past, and I don't want to take this down a rabbit hole. But yeah, anyways, but I'm looking forward to joining him.
See, that's part of the adventure, right?
Yeah, that's part of it.
So that transition, like I said, even he said, even my husband said, the whole point was, he's like, yeah, I didn't take a break. And now he's like, okay. So he's thinking of all these things. Do I want to go back and get my PhD? Do I want to do this? And then he was like, you know what? I'm taking 6 months and I'm going to teach and I'm going to hike. And I'm like, that's a great idea. Do that. Because I know, honestly, folks, money comes and money goes. And I do understand that when you can't pay your bills, you got to have the money. Yeah. We're not that far removed.
Survival. Survival's the...
Right. Like Maslow's hierarchy, yeah, right? You got to have the foundation. So I understand when people are separating at 4 years or after one tour or 6 years or whatever, and they have to have a game plan. Are they using a GI Bill to go back to school? What are they doing? But what I caution people is when you're like, I'm done, and I don't know a person around in the military that hasn't said that at least once.
Agree.
I've probably said it a lot of times.
Me too.
I'm done. And when you say that, right behind it, if you're really done, you should be like, okay, my game plan is. And if you can't speak to that, you really can't be done yet. I guess you can.
No, you need a plan. A plan's important.
But you're good. And I don't mean, oh my God, I have to check this and this. But a plan in the sense of, I know where my income's going to be. I know what level it's going to be at. I know that I'm going to need to reduce my cost. I need to have my bills paid. Coming out of Germany, I used to just crack up laughing. I drove a Pathfinder, an old Pathfinder. And I was an O, right?
Officer.
An officer, yep. So I could, in theory, have... not
something
any
different.
Car, but something different. And the E's that I worked with, they're buying these BMWs because, you know, it's a lot cheaper to buy them in Germany.
It is true, right?
But they're buying these really nice cars. Or I remember that Lake and Heath, the techs had really nice purses. I had a backpack. They had these really nice purses. And I'm not judging it. I'm like, a teacher, own. But some of them, not all of them, because some were actually very smart with the money and they tucked stuff away and they treated themselves. But some of them were just spending every dang thing in there. And this was O's and E's, the officer and enlisted. But I would see them, I'm like, okay, you have that BMW.
Lieutenant Mobile, I used to say. You know,
Lieutenant Mobile,
young lieutenants with money.
And you're going to go back to the States and you're not going to be making the same amount because of tax-free that we got.
Yeah,
and
like
whatnot.
Per diem.
And
cost
sure
of
enough,
living cold.
They're like, oh, we're selling this car or whatever's going on. So I'm just saying that when that time for transition comes, we want everybody to pursue what they want to do. We want everybody to pursue what they truly want to do, what lights them up, what gets them excited, what they want to share with the world. But in order to do that, when you're walking out the door, you've got to make sure, one, you're in a place to do that, and two, the place, once you're situated, that you take a break.
Yeah. No, that's important.
If you can give yourself any little break, then... you're gonna, I think you're just, your success level is gonna be tenfold. I used to be a personal trainer, and I remember I would have people that would just die hard. Get in there, they'd have me 3 times a week, and then they're working out on their own too. And I remember 2 people, and they were not making gains. They're just like, I don't understand. And I'd be, listen, I'm gonna tell you the opposite of what you're gonna wanna hear. And they're like, what? I'm like, take a break. What? I'm like, I want you to take 1 week off. And when you're that diehard, you don't want to take that week off. Oh, I'm in a rhythm. I can do this. And I'm telling you, when you take a break, this is what happens. All those little micro tears heal. And when they heal, that's what makes you stronger. Well, we can relate that to transition. When you take a break, you get to heal a little. And when you heal, you're better and you can get out there. And you can do more and you have more energy and when you are better for other people.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Same, just totally different environment.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, we're not going to go deep right now on this or even go there right now. I'm just going to allude to it. I know in one of our future sessions, we're going to talk about TAP. We're going to talk about ETAP, congressionally mandated programs.
Yep.
I don't want to talk poorly about anything because
no.
There are aspects of anything, again, as we've talked about in the past, that are good. And there's things that certainly can be improved upon and probably need to have attention put to it. But I think it's important that who can help you out there too, and whether that's just somebody in the community that you live in that specializes in resume writing, can teach you interview skills, help you with salary negotiation. These are all things that we were doing in the program that I was I had the pleasure of both serving in and eventually leading that we were doing for people in the community. And that honestly helped me a lot. And one of the things I would say to all of you when you're in any kind of transitional state from an employee, an employment kind of aspect, get a sheet of paper out, 8x10 paper, turn it horizontal to you, create three columns. The column on the left are going to be minimum needs. Donna alluded earlier to that you've got to be able to pay for your bills, whatever those things look like. But I'm going to say to you all, it goes a little deeper than that, because it's not just what do you have bills around, who are you indebted to. I think you ought to ask, do I actually, these things that I owe money on, are they actually things I need at this point in time? I can tell you, transitioning from my government civil servant job, even though I've got retired pay as a retired military member, I scaled back on things that I enjoy having, but they weren't a necessity in that moment. Cut off the cable, cut off the Sirius satellite radio, and other little things like that. Yeah. So left column, just what are my bare needs? And when you get that number at the bottom, I always say maybe plus it by 15 to 20% because there's going to be unexpected things that happen. Middle column are, well, if I'm making more than what I need in that minimum times 20% and I have a little extra, then I would like to have X and Y and Z back. Again, whatever that looks like. So middle column is if I have a little bit more, these are things I would like to do. And I don't know that I ever really dabbled in the right column too much because it's just the way my brain's wired. But if money wasn't a consideration, if you just had unlimited resources, and I just stopped myself short of that because I'm just not...
not a big spender.
Yeah, I'm really not. I don't like to use the word frugal. I like to use the word thrifty, but...
Yeah.
But I give a lot of my money away. Don't start reaching out to me, everybody. telling me, hey, I've got this great... Locally, I tend to donate a lot to nonprofits and charitable causes that I believe in. And,
but that's you what know, works for you.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that with more, I get to do more for others. But I'm just sharing all this with you as a place to kind of start. And you know what? The other piece I'd add, Donna, because I know, again, in future we'll talk TAP and ETAP and maybe a little bit further into the actual what does it look like to job hunt kind of thing. But I think it's important that you leverage your network, the people who already know you, right? The people who know and trust you already, people who can be references for you, referrals for you. And Donna, earlier you said you got to have some kind of plan. We're not talking one that's completely vetted out and built out, but you know, part of the plan is you ought to already have some of these people in mind before you need them, not when you need them. So maintaining good, healthy relationships with people you've worked for, worked with, who you've led, and staying in touch, because those become people who may help you, right?
Help
and not doing it for nefarious reasons. I'm not saying self-serving reasons. This is what we do when we need help. People are willing to help us, but they can't help if they don't.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Actually, I was just sitting here smiling because I was like, don't reach out to that person you haven't talked to in 15 years.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I need a favor.
You know they have a network to something you need. Yeah, that's not going to go over so well.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I know I don't think of you often, but now I need something.
And now I need something. But if you're just interacting and getting involved in things that you're interested in, that network naturally builds. And you have these conversations and you find people of interest. And then I think that all just naturally builds. But the next part of, well, where are you at? Let's just roll it ahead a little bit. Where are you at now? Because 11-ish, 12 years ago, you transitioned.
Yeah, from active duty.
Right. And so in general, what did you build in over those last 12 years?
Yeah, so I have a business now, and this none of this is self-promotion. We've always said that's not why we're here.
No. Just to say we're in transition.
Yeah, I have a really successful business that I've created. I do a lot of what I would consider consulting work. I am a certified coach. That's about 15% of my portfolio. I love coaching people, but it's the smallest part of what I do. I spend most of my time inside companies and organizations, for-profit, nonprofit, Fortune 100, small business, helping them with whatever their needs are. Let's call it organizational development and culture. And then I do a lot of motivational speaking. And I really pride myself, Don, in this way. I know that pride is not a good thing, but I'm happy. It brings me joy. It warms my heart.
And you can't tell on this podcast who the professional speaker is and who is not, right?
You're an incredible speaker. You are. I have done it through sweat equity.
Yeah.
I am a relationship person. I genuinely love people. So listen to me real quick, everybody, and I'm going to tee this back to Donna. But I'm in three chambers of commerce as a business. I'm in three different civic organizations. I'm in Rotary Club, and I'm the president of a B&I chapter. I'm on the media team at the church I attend. And I feel like I'm leaving some things off there. I'm on two board of directors for two nonprofits.
There's a podcast, too.
And look, yeah, they didn't know that. But I don't do that for any other reason than I have a servant heart. But let me tell you what happens is when you're out there helping other people, something magical happens, Donna.
Yep.
The law of reciprocity kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
And the law of reciprocity, everybody, says that when you help other people, they can't help but to think of you subconsciously and want to help you in return. And they want to reciprocate that.
Right.
And so you got the thing that has helped me the most, Donna, is I try not to keep score. Like, I don't ever want to have a scorecard in my head where I'm like, I helped this time and he hasn't done anything for me.
So right.
I just serve. I'm just going to keep helping. But I trust that at some point they are going to want to help, and when the timing's right and the right situation emerges, they're going to say, you need to speak to my friend Jay, or I'm going to connect you with my buddy Jay.
Well, and because the reality of it is that you may, let's just say for discussion that say you help somebody five times, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that person's just not in a place that they can help.
No, that's
right,
right
now. Maybe they're struggling and you being around is what's kind of keeping them sane, allowing them to continue on. I've actually had people say just having that discussion was thank you. And that person, that's their reciprocation. That's all they can do at that point. I'm not looking for anything. I'm just there to let them vent or lend a hand or whatever it is. But somewhere down the line, they're going to reciprocate in their own way.
That's right.
And you're right. It's not a contest. If you are there to give, then you are there to give. And that's the end of it.
It makes me think of a quote, and I don't remember who to attribute it to, even Donna, but it just says something like this, and y'all can go look it up. I encourage you to. It says, you've not lived until you've done something for someone who can never repay. To me, it's just about being in servitude, not servitude sitting at someone's feet and feeding them grapes and fanning them with palm leaves. I'm talking about just serving.
Sincere.
I think serving is a form of leadership. My business has it.
Yeah. Well, and it brought me to transition. So it brought me back from when I was in the military to when I got out. And there were those onesie, twosie people that I found that functioned the same way.
Mm.
It broke my heart that I have to say it's onesie, twosies. Because what I personally ran into was, well, what are you going to do for me? Or if I didn't do things that they needed me to do or in a time that they wanted it, or I knew like if they did something for me that I was going to have to owe them in order to keep whatever project going. That just shouldn't exist, but it does.
It does.
And I'll tell you, the problem that I had the most was people would do things when they knew it would promote them. I would watch people that would do nothing. They would sit back.
Until they got close to time to...
When it came close to the moment that there was going to be some notice, I would watch these people jump
come out
right
of the woodwork.
In front, and here I am. And I would just shake my head. Never said a word, because I'm like, whatever gets you through the day. But the people that saw that, if they didn't see it and they thought, oh, look, and they just kind of gravitated, well, they'll find out later. They'll find out when they bring them in, and then they're like, why isn't this person functioning? Well, because that person didn't know what was going on.
Right.
And went and claimed something. Whatever.
And rest assured, Donna, if someone only comes out of the woodwork and shines in these small moments or in these moments when there's something in it for them, look.
It'll bite them.
Yeah. How you do anything is how you do everything.
Right.
I love to say that. So they may shine for that moment in time. You hadn't really seen them. They didn't stand out prior to. And if you go and choose to go, oh, this is a changed person, and bring them on, just know that they're likely to revert back to who you always knew them to be. And so there's a lot of risk involved in that. So for me, there's consistency. I feel very comfortable with someone looking at my life, my character, my performance, and they're going to see
consistency
in the way that I lead, the way that I serve, the things that I do. My heart is on full display.
Right. Well, I had somebody tell me that they only stayed at a job for 2 years at a time, and they moved on to other jobs. But their rationale was, well, because I fix what I need to fix, and then I move on to the next job.
Mm-hmm.
My perception, interpretation, and others that ended up in the wake was you come in until they can smell you, and then you got to make an exit quick. And because, and that's what I felt, but I will assure you, I actually had somebody say to me, oh, how's it going? And I just looked at them, and they smirked.
And they know.
And they knew, and I was like, thanks for the heads up, and yeah, not my place. I'm like, yeah, got it. Because that person just seriously was going to step in when they needed to, make their shiny moment, and then they're going to exit left when people started realizing this doesn't add up. So don't be that way. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying that's an extreme end, not in the military like that.
But I agree.
The true altruistic.
But there's some anywhere. Right. There's some anywhere.
The true servant leadership people I saw was not a lot of them.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, but look, I think it is something that people can polish and hone. I think that's another topic we do have written down somewhere in the future, just to talk about the difference in leadership styles, the autocratic, the directive, the democratic, the laissez-faire, the servant leadership. I think that's good to revisit. I believe most of our listeners have probably had some exposure to that at some point, but you and I can maybe pull in some examples. And the bottom line is situational leadership is another one. There's a time and place to be different ways. Right, to alternate, but servant leadership is how I tend to lead my life, how I've led other teams, led people from the time that I was 19 years old, honestly.
But I think the night, like on transition, if we're going to wrap this into transition, I feel my transition, I'm allowed to be who I am without constantly running into one thing after another.
Right.
So for me, the transition was the freedom to finally spread my wings. And I think I should do that. Oh, let me consult myself. Hey, that's a great that's a great job, Donna. You go ahead and do that. And actually hearing people say to me, like, you do it all the time. Donna, do that. Or like the other day, he just texted me, hey, I have an idea that I think you should look into. And I'm
for your blog.
Oh, yeah, doing that. And so I said, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. And people encouraging me to think outside the box, encourage how I think anyways. It was a freedom to me.
Yeah.
So everybody's a little different, but we don't want to go on and on. We said we were going to keep these short, but I think the end result is in our transition, it's been onward and upward, and it's been expanding our wings.
Keep
and
evolving.
Thinking outside the box, keep evolving.
Be willing to grow, stretch.
Totally getting our fingers into all kinds of weird things. My husband just sits back and shakes his head and goes, what are you and Jay doing now? I'm like, well.
Yeah. I think we ought to get some, maybe again, we keep coming up with these future thoughts for episodes, but how to find your yes. Unless something is unethical, illegal, immoral, I really encourage people to find a way to yes.
Yes, because
there's beautiful
when you're in transition, when you've transitioned and you're out, there is nobody that's limiting you.
Yeah.
In the military, through design, through whatever's going on, budgets and staffing and every other thing, your hands get tied somewhere. And we are, the good ones are learning how to navigate through that. But my God, is it a lot of effort.
That's right.
To try to navigate those minefields and the red tape and everything else. And so when you're out, you have so many limitations that were put on you that when you get out, you actually forget that you can just do it. So I agree. As long as it's not illegal, immoral, or unethical, I think we need to explore that. So
yeah, we'll do that.
What do you got?
I got a quote that ties to transition. I know that surprises all of our listeners, like they with a quote. I'm not the only one. Donna brings some quotes in from time to time as well, but I am a quote guy. This one is by Alan Watts, and he said, the only way to make sense out of change is to plunge into it, move with it, and join the dance. And that's literally kind of what we were just talking about.
Yeah, that's how we ended it.
I know.
Isn't that cool? And I didn't even know what quote we picked.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Symbiotic brains.
Yeah, we do think a lot. Well, everybody listen, on behalf of Donna Hoffmeyer and myself, Jay Johnson, thank you for listening to the podcast Beyond the Frontline. We really do love to hear from you. Just drop us a short line. Just say hello. Tell us where you're from even. But we hope that you are finding value in all of this. And we absolutely and always look forward to sitting with you in this time and space.
Peace out.
Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Beyond the Frontline, a podcast of Coming Home Well. Join us every other Wednesday. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Follow us on Instagram at @ComingHomeWell_BTS or on Twitter at @ComingHomeWell. Thanks again. And until all are home and all are well.